Here's what I want to do. We're going to begin to prepare ourselves for baptism, and I want each of us to understand what baptism really is, what it really means. And so this is a great opportunity for us to look at some scripture in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. And so I want to just establish what baptism is, and then we'll move right into the baptism of two folks that we have this morning. And so if you look at Matthew 28, and there's some important things actually even above in 18. So I'm going to jump up there and read that. It begins like this. And Jesus came up and he spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, I want to talk to you a moment about this word called disciple. Okay, because a disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ. They're a student of his life. They are imitators of his life and his lifestyle. Now, I want to compare that to a word called Christian. And I have no idea what that word means. Honestly, I don't. You see, Christian is only used in the Bible less than five times. I think it's three. And it's used by people who weren't that. It was used by people who were not followers of Christ, almost in a derogatory fashion toward these followers. They were originally called followers of Christ. They were called people of the way. What way? His way. They were not called Christians. Christians was this thing. It's like, oh, they're like Christians. Those people, they imitate that guy, Jesus, the Christ that came. And so I want to tell you that it's 2017, and honestly, I still don't know what the word Christian means, and honestly, I could care less, to be quite honest. Here's what I'm interested in. I am interested in disciples. I am interested in those who want to imitate the life and lifestyle of Jesus Christ, that they have found something in this Jesus, that they say, "I want to be like him." And when you find one of those, then you're to baptize them. It's a strange thing, really. I mean, in just a minute, the strangest thing is going to happen. We got some people, they're going to walk over to this water over here, and they're going to get in it. So they're going to get wet in the midst of a bunch of people. And we're going to say some stuff and we're going to lean them into the water. Yes, this is different than we're not going to dip anybody. You know, I'm not getting into all the different ways. I just want to prepare you for what's going to happen here. All right, we're going to put them all the way in. In fact, I told little Leigh, I said, "You got long hair. We're going to even try to get all your hair wet when we do it." Because here's what the word means. The word meant to dip, to immerse. It was a ceremonial thing. So this represents something. What does it represent? It represents that the people who were going into that water have already made a decision that they want to be followers of Christ. That's important because I think in the culture that we live now, we want so many people to follow Christ. What we do is we go and try to get them baptized and then we try to convince them to follow. That's backwards. Okay? And I understand it. And believe me, if there was somebody today that said, "You know what? I'm ready. I am absolutely and truly ready to follow Christ. Kevin, I didn't bring any clothes with me, but I'm ready to get in." If I saw that kind of fire in their eyes, I'd say, "Come on, let's do it." So I'm not telling you that we would prohibit anyone from baptism. But what I'm saying is we must be careful that we don't run people into this pool real fast and then somehow hope that after they come up, they'll have some kind of epiphany or we can convince them at some later date to follow Christ. Now, the people going in this pool, they've already made their mind up. Even little Layla, she's shaking her head. She said, "But she's small. Does she know what she's getting into? If any of you got baptized and saved as an adult, did you know what you were getting into? Huh, you aren't any better off than she was." You know? I'd say, let's go on and do it while we're young and let's have a whole life that Layla's testimony would be, you know what, I came to Christ at an early age. And I didn't drink and do drugs and run around and do all those things. That's not my story. Those stories are great, don't get me wrong. When I hear them, I thank God for them, that He changes and He transforms people. But I tell you what, Layla, my story is like you. The first place I went when I was born was to Vacation Bible School. Because it just so happened they let me out one evening. And to get to my house, you had to go past the church, and they were having Vacation Bible School. So I went there before I went anywhere. And so I will tell you that I love the story of the transformed life, but I also love the story of the young person who decided early on that they were going to follow Christ as best they knew how. And I'm going to tell our folks today that are being baptized, it is the same Jesus that saves you that's going to keep you, Allison Brunette. Do you hear me? If some of y'all are wondering, you know, if I get in the pool, can I keep this thing up? I don't know if you can or not. Probably not. Because it's the God that saves you. It's the God that keeps you. So why would you go into the water believing that you were saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and come out and think you had to do it all by yourself? So you go in believing that He saved you and you come out believing that He's going to keep you. That's what we're doing today. And so it's strange, but it represents this ceremonial cleansing. It says that when Jesus Christ looks and the Father looks at these two folks today, He sees them as clean. They'll never be dirty again. Now you say, but they'll sin. Well, yeah, maybe they will. But He'll still see them through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so their trespasses will never be counted against them. Ooh, I'm about to get excited. Man. And so it's cleansing. It's a representation of dying to self. We've talked about that before if you want to go back and hear that message. But it is that I surrendered this life and these my dreams and my ambitions. But it's this thing mostly. I surrender my control. You remember me asking you that? Who's in control of your life? Because whoever is in control is responsible for it. These folks are saying, I'm putting God in control. And then I'm going to make Him responsible. And God says, thank you, because my name is faithful. And I'll do it. And so when you're baptized, it says that you're baptized into a name. Now, once again, that's the craziest thing you ever heard, isn't it? What do you mean being baptized into a name? Look at it. It says you're being baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son. That means in the name of the Father, in the name of Jesus, the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. So what does it mean to be baptized into the name of something? It means that these folks today are being baptized into the nature of the Father, into the character of the Father. So then you need to ask yourself, well, what are those things? So when we baptize them in the name of the Father, they are being baptized into the nature and the character of the Creator of heaven and earth. They're being baptized into the name of the One who is Almighty. They're being baptized into the name of the One who said, I am your provider. Right, Miss Worthy? God provided for you when everybody else let you down, right? He is Jehovah Jireh. You're being baptized into that, into the God who provides. You're being baptized into the God who protects. You're being baptized into the name of the Father who is healer. You are being baptized into the Father who is our leader. They call that shepherd in the Bible, but I know none of y'all have sheep. You're being baptized in that. Then you're being baptized in the name above all names, Jesus. If you notice in Scripture, He is called Jesus the Christ. We add things. We sing songs about sweet Jesus. You ever heard anybody, I think it's precious when old people say that, sweet Jesus? You know? But you know sweet Jesus is not found in the Scripture. Just Jesus. Because there is nothing needed when you say that name. There is nothing left off when you say the name of Jesus. When you say the name of Jesus, you have everything you need. That name is complete in and of itself. It is the name above all names. So you are baptized into His power. into His authority and into His finished work. What do you need? The correct answer is, I don't need anything because I have Him, Jesus. And then you are baptized into the name of the Holy Spirit, who is literally the breath of God. The name for Holy Spirit found in Greek comes from a word, it means breath. And so the Holy Spirit literally is the breath of God. And there's sometimes when I don't know what else to do, I'll just sit there and breathe. Because you know you're going to do that anyway unless you pass out. So you might as well just breathe. And I just think about that. That's the Holy Spirit is the very breath of God. And that I can just breathe Him in. And I can breathe Him out. And I can know that He is this earthly connection to God. I don't know if you grew up in places where they made you afraid of the Holy Spirit or not, but I can tell you this. God the Father, His place is in heaven. Jesus is sitting at His right-hand side. Who is with you right now? You best get comfortable with Him because He's the Comforter and His name is the Holy Spirit. He is your connection to God here on earth. When things move, they move by the power of His Spirit. And so you are being baptized into the Father. You are being baptized into the Son. And you are being baptized into the Holy Spirit. And then you're being baptized into one other thing. But I'm going to hold that as a surprise and we're going to start baptism. How about that? So Allison, let's start with you. And you come on up. And Kim, I believe you're baptizing. And just real quickly, I want to tell you about this young lady. I didn't know her very well. I knew that she was married to Jonathan. That's about the extent of it when I first met him. And Jonathan and I go way back. And one day they just surprised me and they just showed up here at Ember. I still am not even completely positive I know how they got here. But over that time, I have watched these folks make a decision that they were going to follow Christ. And I've watched God begin to transform their thought life and transform the way that they do business in the world. Just begin to change things. And it's that sort of subtleness that you see. Some people, they're like fireballs, you know. They like launch off like rockets. And I'm cool with those, but sometimes those burn out. But I love, you know, I love the ones that they just steadily saying yes to Jesus. So you were supposed to be in the water by now, but I didn't tell you. I didn't. Yeah, I know. Y'all were having a little girlfriend moment. Y'all go ahead. Break it up. Get in. We like to make it cold because that's more memorable. Nobody gets baptized in a sauna, you know. It's all about building memories here, okay?
Layla should have went first.
Layla, she's going to have it warm for you, okay? That's why I did that, okay?
I did tinkle in here, Layla.
There's no tinkling.
That's my daughter.
Okay. Hurry, we're sinking.
All right, can we do something
else? Yeah. Go ahead. So, Allison Brunette, have you received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior?
Yes, sir.
And you're being baptized because that's what He asked you to do, right?
Yes, sir.
Then Kim's going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Now here's the surprise, okay? Because I said that she was being baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, but she's being baptized into something else that she's already actually been a part of. She's being baptized into a family. She's being baptized into the family of God. And so there's some women who don't care that you're wet. They're going to come up and hug you and love on you as a symbol of her being baptized into a family as well. If you want to hug her, you can. Which I think is one of the most visible and beautiful things about the Christian faith, is this idea of being baptized into a family of God. It does not have to be women. That's daddy, right? Daddy's got to go give some love too. Yeah. Layla, you want to come with me? This is Layla Gammons. Yeah, go ahead, Layla. So I knew that Layla was coming, and I had met Jennifer. And one day, Layla likes to paint. And so normally we have a painting table up here because being creative is really important here, and that our kids be creative. And so we want them to sing, and we want them to dance, and we want them to feel comfortable, to be all those things. And so Layla loves to paint. And one day she was painting, and Chris Eifert was starting to lead worship, and he started into a song that Layla obviously knew, and Layla just threw her arms up in the air and just stopped painting and just started singing. And as I looked, I said, oh my goodness, that's a worshiper there. That's somebody that has the heart of God. And then I got to meet her a little bit, and we've talked a couple of times, and I know that God has deposited a portion of His heart in Layla. He's done that in you too, by the way. You carry a particular portion of God. You can't carry it all or your heart would explode. All right, but you carry a piece. And the piece that she has is, I believe, one of a worshiper. And so, Layla, go ahead and sit down. I hope we're going to be able to see you. There you go. Get on your knees. Well, we might hurt you if we do that. I don't know how. You feel? Can we lean you back that way? I bet you can do that. Let's try it. So Layla, have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Yes. All right, so you're being baptized because He told you to, right? All right, so I baptize you, Layla, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You ready for this? All right, get your nose. All right. Woo! Yeah. Now, the reason we didn't have Kingdom Kids is because we want your Kingdom Kids leaders, Jeff and Leah, we wanted them to experience that. We want them to welcome you into the family. And some of your Kingdom Kids buddies are here because they want to welcome you into this family of God. So come on out and meet your family. How good is that? Can we praise the Lord for that? Yeah. All right, so I want to leave you with some things because it doesn't stop there. All right, that's important for anyone to know and everyone to know that baptism is not the end. It really is just a new beginning, and that there's so much more from there. So I want to go back and read those verses to you again. And I want to give you something that you can walk away with today. So it said again in verse 18 of Matthew 28, it says, "And Jesus came up and He spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Amen. One important thing. You need to know who's in charge. It is Jesus that has authority. Satan, whatever authority he had, was crippled and crushed at the cross when Jesus said, "It is finished." And there are those of you that may think that he is in control, and I will tell you that it is Jesus that is in control. the areas that are not subjected yet to the king are simply because we have not surrendered those areas to his life yet. And so whatever that is, you know what that's called? That's called unauthorized. But the believers, those who are living in the authority of Jesus. And he says this, and he says it to every believer that can hear me that is in this room. It's real simple. It won't take me long to say it. Go. Go. And you would say, well, what does that mean? And I would say, it means that the Christian life is an aggressive, offensive life. I was watching basketball last night. My team lost. Man. Painful. Painful, but I'm going to preach anyway. If you all you want to do is play defense, there's a problem with that. If the other team scores, you lose. Right? So as a believer, you cannot just simply sit and try to play defense and hope that you can make it out of this world without too much trouble. You can't play defense with your family thinking, well, maybe I can just hold on and my kids will possibly grow up and follow Christ and not get into trouble. You can't just play defense at work where you're in places of authority. We are supposed to be on the offense. We're supposed to go because as we go in His authority, things are supposed to change. I started thinking about what changed my life. What changed my life was a lady named Lila Traylor. She passed away 3 weeks ago. She taught me early on when I was the only one that came to that class. She didn't care. I think that there would have been some people that would have said, you know, why do I need to go and put forth an effort? There's just one kid there. Well, it's important if you're that one kid that somebody would give you the best and not the leftovers. You know, I've tried when we started Ember, I didn't know if anybody was going or not, but I made this commitment from day one. I said, God, you've called me to start Ember. And if there's a person there or if there's a room full of people there, I'm going to love the one just like I would love the many. I'm going to preach to the one just as hard as I would preach to the many because I'm not supposed to give second best to anybody. And it was her love for me when there was nobody else in the room that transformed me. That's what transforms people. Did you know that? It's people. You want to know what the connection is of people coming to know Christ? More often than not, it is that somebody took time to love. They went. They heard the go. They loved. They gave. They forgave. They did something. We are the connection to people. If you have to ask the question, well, why? You know, what is it? Or why did that thing touch their life? It's because a believer went in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and God used that to change a person. That's how I experienced the Holy Spirit, was through the love of people in my life. And so we are to go and we're to go in Jesus' name. I don't know who said it, but there was this saying, and I don't hear many people say it much anymore, but it was something like do good or love people, something like that, and use words if necessary. Have you heard that? Anybody heard that? One or two people heard that. Yeah, yeah. That's a bunch of bull. That's a bunch of bull. Because what happened to us is we heard this, just go be nice to people. Well, anybody can be nice. Lost people are nice. Do you know that? Sometimes they're nicer than Christians, quite honestly. So you can go and be nice, but I don't suggest you go that way. I would suggest you go in Jesus' name. Meaning that when you get up in the morning and you go to work, I know sometimes you probably need a little motivation. Maybe Monday morning is a good time for some motivation, right? You know why you should go to work? You should go in Jesus' name. As an ambassador for Him. And yeah, you can be nice and good and polite and all those things, but it'll fall short, I believe, if you don't go with the mindset and the authority that says, I am going as an ambassador of Jesus today. And so if I'm going to be nice, I'm going to be nice in Jesus' name. There's just something about knowing that I'm working and I'm living and I'm doing it all, and I'm doing it in Jesus' name, and I'm doing it by His power. And so I would suggest, and I strongly encourage, that in your going from this point on and forevermore, you go in Jesus' name. And some are sent. We think about missionaries. But you realize that the early gospel, it went all over the place because it said as they were going, they were sharing the gospel. As they were going into the grocery store. As they were going to the doctor's office. As they were going to play ball or watch their kids play ball. They were going and they were going in Jesus' name, and the gospel was being spread. And so I told you that they were making, not Christians, they were making followers of Christ. Chris Bender and I got this bright idea at McDonald's that we were going to go into a neighborhood and pray. And because we felt like God was telling us that we had to begin to lay some groundwork, you know, to just go. That some will go into their places and then others are sent. And we felt sent. So we went and we prayed. And I'm going to tell you that I missed something, Chris. Man, we prayed with these two guys. They were out on their front yards, and we walked up and we prayed for them. And I had a word for one that he was a leader. And he looked at me and he said, "You know what?" He said, "Another pastor told me that same thing." I didn't tell him I was a pastor. I hope the poor guy doesn't think that the only reason I'm a pastor is because I shared Jesus with him. Because that means that not very many people are sharing Jesus. I hope that's not the reason that he thought I was a pastor. I hope the Lord gave it to him. But he said, another pastor told me that same thing. And you know what I didn't do? I should have told him, and if I can find him, I know his name, I'd say, "Do you want to follow Christ? Because if you do, I'll come back. And I'll teach you how to follow Christ." Because you see, just going around the world being nice is not getting it done, folks. Because when Nicodemus asked Jesus, "What must I do to be saved?" Jesus said, "You must be born again. You must surrender your life to Jesus." And somebody's got to give somebody an opportunity to do that. And if all we ever do is walk around being nice and we don't ask somebody, "Would you like to follow Christ? Would you like to? If so, I'll help you. I'll teach you how." That's what it said. "Teach them to observe all that I commanded you to do." It wasn't to just nod your head. Do you realize I don't want you to just nod your head? Although I like nodding of heads. Don't get me wrong. It's better than dull, dead stares of like that. Okay? But I don't want you to just consent to the gospel. I want you to live out the gospel. That word "observe" doesn't mean that we went to church and we watched the preacher pray or preach and go, "That's a good word," and walk off unchanged. No, it says to teach them how to obey the commands of God. Somebody's got to do that. I think some of y'all are in the room that could do that. And it says to teach them to obey all that I commanded you. And so just real quickly, because I think I can just go through this fairly fast for those of you who already know the name of Jesus, who are following Him. But I ask the question, what did Jesus command of the disciples? Because if He commanded the disciples, then the disciples were supposed to pass that on down to somebody else, who passed that on down to somebody else. That, praise God, finally got to my life and yours. That's how it works. So what did He command them to do? For anybody who's interested, I'm going to fly through this because I got to finish up. He commanded them to preach and demonstrate the kingdom of God. So you have to have a kingdom mindset. What is a kingdom mindset? It's that prayer that most of us know, on earth as it is in heaven. How do I live by the commands of God? I go to work and I ask myself, does that look like what's going on in heaven? And if it's not, it's unauthorized. And it's my job to get it to look like the kingdom of God. And I have found that if you're not arrogant as a Christian, people love it. And they want it. Because it has to do with forgiveness and love and all of those things. And so wherever we ask ourselves, is that like God? And if not, then we change it and make it like God because we have authority to do it. We destroy the works of Satan because that's what Jesus did. Somebody said, what do you do? He said, I just go around messing up the enemy. Yeah, just go around picking a fight. Some of you are fully capable of that. You ought to walk around and pick a fight. Well, why did you intervene right there? Because I saw Satan. And something needed to change. You know, the first responders on 9/11, the building's burning down, and the first responders are running in. I said, boy, that's a model of Christianity right there. That when the building's burning, when a family is burning, when a child is burning with addiction, when a business is burning to the ground, whatever it may be, the Christian don't look back and go, you know what, I think we ought to have a prayer service right now. We ought to say, let's go on over there. How do you know that you've got authority to go over there? Because if the devil's there, you've got authority to destroy it. That's how I know. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy now. I'm going to go on and preach it. I don't care. It has to do with love. If you want to know what to do, ask yourself, what would love do? What would love do in this situation? Don't make it so stinking complicated. Just ask yourself, what would love do? Ah, love would forgive. Oh, love would forgive again. Oh, wait a minute, love would just keep forgiving. Oh, love would give. Oh, how much? As much as necessary, but not enough to be foolish, because that's not love. That's enabling. Do you see that? Do you see how love will even show you when to stop? Because after a while, it's not love anymore. You watch Jesus. He'd love to a point and say, look, if you want to go, you can go, because I can't make you. And so you ask yourself, what would love do? It is proclamation and it is demonstration. And if you say, you know what, I wanted to remember what Kevin said about how to know what God commanded. I'm going to Google it. Everybody I found left out the following things: the signs and wonders and the miracles of God. They left those out. I think it's because we've inherited this culture that believes that that was for another day. And I would say, no, not so. Just because you don't see it. You know what? I don't care what I see. I know what I see in the Word. And the Word says there's supposed to be a long and enduring legacy of disciples teaching other disciples to do what God did. So then ask yourself what God did. And then look at that and say that nothing's out of the reach or realm of the kingdom of God. So is it good works? Absolutely. It's a good work that gave Miss Martha a house. And there's something amazing about it because it was done in Jesus' name and everybody knows about it. It's different than other houses that might be given just for humanitarian reasons. That house was given in Jesus' name and it stands as a light to the community. Do you see the difference? There's good works and there's signs and wonders and there's a promise that everybody who does that, it says that God will be with you. Now, I got to get to the good part. If you want to be a disciple, there is only one time to be it. Now. You see how simple the gospel is? What am I supposed to do? Go. When am I supposed to do it? Now. There is only one time. Right now. If you don't know Jesus, there's only one time to be saved, and it's not today. It's now. You say, wait a minute, where do you get that from? Well, 1 Corinthians. I hope I can find it. I can't find it. I'm just going to tell it to you. It says, now is the day of salvation. Most people read that and they say that today is the day of salvation. Look that up for me, Pat. That's not what it says. It says, now. There's only one time that you can follow Christ. It's right now. There are folks in the Bible that they looked at Jesus and He said, come and follow me. And they said, man, we're excited. Yes, we want to do it. And He says, okay, come on. And they're like, oh, now? Like right now. And He's like, yeah, right now. And they're like, oh, but I bought a field, and I got to go check the field out. I bought some oxen. I got to go check the oxen out. What idiot buys oxen without checking the oxen out first? Second Corinthians 6:2. See, I didn't make that up. I just didn't know where it was. Now is the day of salvation. They said, I got other things to do. The problem with having an excuse is you'll always have another one. You'll always have another one. So if you got one today, you'll have one tomorrow. And Jesus said that he loved the rich young ruler, but he had to let him go. And so the unfortunate thing is that when the call goes out to find a disciple, do you know what you'll find more of than you will find disciples? You will find excuses. I had a feeling the room was going to get quiet. When the call goes out to follow, most people think that theoretically that's a great idea. And you say, well, let's follow Thursday. And you say, well, I can't because I got something to do on Thursday. Well, how about Saturday? Well, I can't because I wash dishes on Saturday. Well, how about Sunday? Well, I can't because no, I'm not going to church, so I don't know what I'm doing. But I just can't. And so you look, and there's always some reason. People come into the church, and it's too hot or it's too cold, right? If we took a survey of the room, lost the word. And I asked you, how many people think it's too hot? And then I asked another people, how many of you think it's too cold? Whoever runs the thermostats around any church has the worst job around. They should remain anonymous. Because you can't please anybody like that. So here's what I learned to tell them years ago when I was at another church. I would say, the thermostats are set and they're going to catch up in just a little bit. Meaning that we've set that thing for 71. I don't care what you feel like. We can't walk around the room adjusting for everybody because we'd never get anything done other than change the thermostats. You know? The seats are too hard and they're too soft. All at the same time. You know? The music is too slow or it's too fast. It's too loud or it's too soft. I'm picking on them because the message is just right. And I would tell you that if you had any of those things, you are making excuses. Knock it off. Because at the heart of that is there's something going on inside of you that's wrong, and you think that God is condemning you, or you've just gotten into this critical, negative thing. When what you need to do is get in touch with a God who loves you and start following. And then it won't matter if it's hot or it's cold, or the seats are hard or soft, or you worship for a minute or an hour, or the message made you feel great or it stung your heart. Because at the end of the day, you're saying, my desire is to follow Christ. And I know a follower when I see one because they will stop at nothing. If it was food, you could put it on the floor and skip the plate and they would eat it. But for the person who is not hungry, Spurgeon said, there's something wrong with the napkin or the silverware is dirty. And there's always excuses. And so I want to do this today. I want to just tell you, I'm not even giving an invitation and we're not even playing music. You hear that? You know why? Because I don't want to guilt you into anything. Because I don't intend to stay around and guilt you tomorrow or next week. Because I'm looking for followers. And I know that in this church that there are those of you and you have decided to follow Christ. And I would say, well done. Because that is the message and don't ever lose sight of it. That God called us to be disciples. If there are those of you who have not yet followed, I would tell you that there's only one day that you can follow, and that's right now. So if you need me, I'm going to be right here. If you know somebody else, go to them. And we'll baptize you next week. We'll even change the water out. Because I think Allison tinkled in it. So here's what I want us to do. Y'all stand up. Turn the lights on. Hold your eyes for a minute. There's no soft way to do this. Yeah. I'm going to pray for you. If anybody wants to follow Christ, I'm right here. If you're already following, then you keep that up and you give people an opportunity to follow Christ. Let me pray with you. Father, thank you. What an amazing day, Lord, that we get to celebrate things that are happening with the housing project. We get to rub shoulders with Miss Worthy, a child that you love and is a model of your provision that stands as a testimony to us all today. Father, we got to see people get baptized today in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and into a family. And Father, right now, I believe that you have called people for certain things. And if they didn't hear anything, there's two words that still resonate in my heart, and that is go, and that is now. And I pray that we would have the courage to do that. If that is to receive you as Lord and Savior, if that is to begin to pour our lives into other people, if that is to do it as we go, whatever it may be. But God, now is the time. Let us do it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Hope I see you again next week.